realize that we can, with God's help and with the help of the elders that have helped me, many thanks to Jim Hiles. I don't know where he is, but he's hiding somewhere over in the corner, for all his guidance and love through this, and of course to Fred for the many hours of talking to him on the phone. And then the prayers. And you know, brethren, you don't know until you're faced with a really adverse situation, you can feel God's people praying for you. You really can. You can really understand that there's a lot of love among the people of God. And so thank you very much for that, because that's very important to me. Now, how do we start things? How do we begin a process of healing? Well, it's no different physically than it is spiritually. I'll tie the two together. We are healed if we look at any sickness or disease, and especially if spiritual disease enters into you, that it's from here to the bottom of your feet, and no fudging in between. So I set on a path of myself to find out all I could besides the help I was getting. And I found out that one of the biggest things that I had to have right is to have my mind right before God. Because that's where it all begins. That's where it all starts. And we can have deep emotional things within us that we need to get rid of. Now let me give you an example, and we'll go over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And when Fred and I discussed this over the telephone many months ago now, I looked at it, Matthew 6, and it's to do with the prayer, model prayer. And I looked at this, and I've read these scriptures for years and years, and I've used this as an outline for my prayers. But there was one thing Fred told me that blew my mind, and it sent me away for about 3 days in my mind, reeling backwards, wondering, does this scripture apply to me? Verse 12. In the model prayer it says, forgive us our sins or debts as we also forgive our debtors. And I sat there, I don't know, you might remember the conversation, and I'm going, uh-oh, what am I doing wrong? Then we went to verse 14, and he said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that, brethren, hit me like a ton of bricks. Because was I forgiving everyone? Were they forgiving me? So I had to do my part and get rid of the garbage that was in here before I could begin any healing process. Because that's a very sobering scripture. Because 15 brought it together. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I'm saying to myself, what am I harboring? What's in me that I have to get out and get rid of so I can begin a healing process? And that's where I started, with that scripture. So I had to go to God, and I have done a series of this in my own life since Passover and the days of unleavened bread, and continue to do so. Because isn't that a time to get leaven out? Is this not a time to prepare for the kingdom of God for ourselves? And I had to take things that brethren had done to me and asked God to forgive me. It was very important. Because if I didn't do that, was God forgiving all of my sins? Now, why did I end up in the stages where I was? With a death notice on top of my head. And I had to realize that I'm still a human being. And I needed some humility in my life. And I needed to get on my knees and come down a little bit and help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's a good start to where the healing process really starts. You've got to get that mind right. You need anointing, as the scriptures say. You need to be able to go to God on any situation in your life. Remember, God knows everything about us, doesn't He? But the problem is that the bad things in life that have happened to you or to me or through the church, whatever happens, they leave scars. And we've got to rid ourselves of that and just go to God and say, forgive me for my part of this situation. And please help the other person to forgive me and not hold a grudge. Then I have done my part before God. And although you'll always have it in your mind, as soon as it comes up, drop it. Get out of it. Because now you know God has taken care of that. That's Satan's way of keeping us always on a turmoil within us. And he keeps trying and trying to get us. But remember, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if you're right with God and you have the right mind and attitude, then God is going to protect you. No doubt about it. Now, it all comes down to your belief in God also. Do you really believe what God says? Do you really believe the scriptures in front of you? Don't get hung up on things that are going to deter you from your goal of the kingdom of God. You don't know something? Put it up in a box on a shelf, and you'll find, as I have done through the years and still do, that answer comes. Either through a sermon, it could be through a thought process, whatever happens, God is there and He will take care of it. The other thing you got to really watch is stress. Because if you're sick and you're battling something, stress is a very hard thing to deal with. Because you know why I'm going to do a sermon pretty soon on anger? It starts out with an aggravation. Anger's not one big step. Anger is little steps getting to anger. And so if you can prevent that, then you're not going to have the anger within you. And then because once the anger takes hold, then the wrath takes hold. And what does it say in the scriptures? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And so I'm going to do that when I get back, because I think that's important at this time of year that we're coming through. Remember, the holy days of these times that we're going through are for the brethren. Is that right? Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost. They're to do with our salvation. And it hit me on Passover evening that as I was doing the service, that we have a lot to change within ourselves. Now, don't look at it as a mountain, though. Just work on what you can work on. But always do it with God's help. And acknowledge to Him that we are sinners. That we do fall short of the glory of God. Then what you need to do from there is sort out your priorities. What's making you ill? Because whatever it is something that you have to deal with and I have to deal with to say, I don't need this in my life. God's got to be number one. Absolutely number one. Not the football game. I hear you're a little crazy down here in the U.S. about football. Must have learned from us with hockey. And that's not a priority. Your priority is your salvation. Now, one thing why I want to talk about this afternoon a little bit is that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Don't wait until you get into a situation like I was in before you react to anything. Change it now if you can. And with God's help. Because, brethren, you don't want to go through what I went through. And there's people that are worse off than I am. And there's people that have gone through tremendous things medically. That my heart goes out to them. Especially in our aging process here. Except for very few, we're all getting up there. Slowly. Some faster than others. I passed right about 4 months ago. I feel like I'm 80. But I really believe that if I would have done more in the beginning to help myself, I wouldn't be where or in the stages of health I am today. Now, the cancer doesn't hurt. I have no pain from cancer, but I sure have a lot of side effects. And I haven't figured them all the side effects out, but I think that's one of them. But now I've got to deal with them, and I have to work on them. Because I have to come back and make myself the whole person before God. I want to be here to serve you in any capacity I can. I need to be a whole person in my mind, spiritually and physically. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not going to die. That's when God is ready and when I have done what I've had to do through the years. But I will tell you that cancer can be beaten. And in my case, it will be beaten. If I die, it won't be from cancer. Because I have learned, brethren, that actually, last time I was in the doctor's, which was a few weeks ago, he said, you've got this strange liver disease. I said, what happened to the cancer? Because I'm supposed to be gone. And the oncologist said, you're our mystery man. We don't know what's going on. You're not following the line that other people have followed. Why would I want to do that? A simple question. What would be the purpose of doing that? And so, with Fred's counseling, I decided to go to New Zealand. And it was in December. Yes, December. I I left for New Zealand. And it just happened to be the time the snow was falling in Canada. And it was just the time of them coming into summer. So the convincing didn't take too much on my part. Except once I got there, and if you don't have a car in New Zealand, you've got nothing to do. I wrote 6 sermons while I was down there and did a pile of different things. But the stress of everything around me was gone. I was able to concentrate with naturopaths, doctors, and chiropractors on the best healing methods for me. And so I'm on the Budwick diet myself to a certain point, and it's working. And also Fred's concoction, well, I know it's not Fred's, but I really got to like it, is the sodium bicarbonate, a little bit of water, and maple syrup. And so I take that twice a day, and I really enjoy it. I don't mind the taste of it at all. I look forward to it now. So that's one of the things I am doing daily to try to get myself on the pH balance that I need to overcome cancer. If you're acidic at all, the pH sticks will tell you that. And I was acidic. I was around 5.5 to 6. And since I've been on the concoction, which I call it, I am 7 to 7.25, which is the high side of the balance it should be. So now I've got something to fight with. See, cancer loves sweets. Cancer loves red meat. Thrives on it. And so what happens when you drink this concoction, which is very good, it's like a cell opens because the maple syrup's coming. It loves sweetness. And just as it goes to go in, or maybe it does go in, the bicarbonate soda comes back in and says, gotcha. It's like the Trojan horse, you know. And the cell is dead. Now, over in certain places in Europe, Rome for one, there is a place they can put the sodium bicarbonate right into the cells. Since I don't have the money to go to Rome, and I don't know if I want people probing in that way, I will do it this way. And I've learned from that gives me a lot of resilience to things hurting me inside. Now, my wife and I never thought we'd be here at this elders conference, but I was determined. The nurse told my wife that I'm not living in reality, I'm living whatever it is she said. Then let me live in it. You know, I mean, don't discourage me. Don't come into my house and say, well, you know, in a few weeks this is going to happen, in a few weeks that's going to happen. They don't know. They have no idea. But I know on the report my doctor sent to them, he says, this man has a strong constitution. And he didn't say very stubborn, but the next thing. And so it's helped me through. But I've had to do a lot of research. Jim's done a lot of research. I'll enjoy going through it all in a booklet now, because I appreciate the things that people have sent to me. And I have a half a filing cabinet full of them now. But I can't do them all. I can't take everything. But I'm trying to take the best, what is for me. And that's a decision you have to make. Now I got people that are mad at me because I won't take chemotherapy. Well, be mad. I'm talking in the church. You know? This is my life and I have to take care of it. First thing Fred said to me, you're fighting for your life. I'll never forget that. So if I can pass some of this on to help you, then that's going to make it easier on yourselves. I feel like I'm helping you, and a lot of people have helped me. Now let's go to Genesis 1. Very, very simple principle here. Because you wonder what's going on. What's happening? You know that they're predicting very soon one of every second person's going to have cancer. It's going to become the leading reason for death. What's the first one right now? Heart disease. But it's not true. Because what happens when people have cancer and they get to a point in their lives, their heart gives up. So they put down cause of death, heart. That's what they're doing. Why? They don't want to scare the world? I think they've already done that. I think we're beyond that. Right? Genesis 1, chapter 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree upon which is the fruit of a tree bearing seed, to you they shall be for food. Isn't that the way God created it? What happened? I want to make more money. So I'll take the vitamins out of this. I will take the minerals out of this and I'll sell it back to you. Go to the health food store. And what's happened in Germany right now is you can buy vitamin C, chewable, 500 milligrams, in Canada for about $9.99. And they're $48.99 in Germany. And there's a bill called C7 in Canada that they want to start regulating the things in the health food store. Now, they're much more expensive now in a health food store for anything we buy. But if the government gets their fingers in there, it's going to be terrible. What does that tell you? They want to make money on pharmaceuticals. Now, we have a team up in close to us in Ottawa, Ontario, which is called the Ottawa Senators. Now, anybody knows anything about hockey probably knows them by now. So 2 years ago, they were having financial trouble, and a man came out of the United States that owned a pharmaceutical company and paid cash for them. He wrote a check. And why do you think Hillary especially, was so much for this Medicare? Because it was the pharmaceutical companies that were backing her. Now, we have Medicare in Canada. Now, in Ontario, now we pay $400 a year for it. But everybody and their brother goes to the doctor. The selling of drugs has quadrupled. See, there's big money in all of this. There's big money in people that are sick that need radiation or whatever they decide to take. To you, it's a lifesaver. To you, it's, you know, hey, I got cancer, I got to get rid of this thing. For the doctor, he gets about $2,500 for every patient that he works on. But they're not in it for the money. Now remember, healing yourself And getting yourself better is a lifelong process. I may carry some type of cancer in my body for the rest of my life. And everybody has the cells in them for it. It's when your immune system drops and then they just rush in. Sometimes quicker than others. They estimate my cancer has been 3 to 5 years in coming. They do that by history and things. And they don't give you any hope, brethren. No hope. My hope's in God. I told my doctor this, and he says, "Oh, you know anything about Herbert Armstrong?" I said, "Yep. Actually do." So he's read some of the materials. He's read some plain truths or whatever he's had through the years. And he says, if you need to do that, you do that. I'll support you. If you need to go to an acupuncturist, chiropractor, I will support you. And this is a new doctor over the last couple of years. I just shook my head and I said, am I in the right office? But he's a country doctor. I drive out about 30 miles to see him, and it's well worth the drive. My last report from him was 2.5 weeks ago, and he says, I'm very pleased with your progress. And he says, we're not going to do any more tests. We're doing nothing. We're going to watch you. And he said, you've come back a long way. Now, you're going to have to try things for yourself. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you what to take or what to do. But you need to educate yourself in it and take what's best for you. We have to maintain our health. How is anybody in this room going to serve God if they're sick and out of the picture? So we got to strive the best we can. I'm not saying nobody's ever going to die of cancer in the church. That's, well, we know. I've done 4 funerals myself on people that died of cancer. It's going to happen. But we're going to strive to do our very best to carry on. Because that's the commission we've been given to do. One we heard from Fred this morning, isn't it? We need to be strong to help others. You need to be strong to help others. And so that's very, very important. There are a lot of things you need to learn, as I said at the beginning, from head to toe. I've had to change shampoos. I have to change soaps. I have to change the way my clothes are washed. I have to change everything on me. You see, brethren, cancer is there. And it's like you need every little thing to fight it back. You can't just ignore the rest of it. Now, there's nothing I like better, and I did this in New Zealand, is wash some clothes in pure vinegar. Well, just needed French fries. And then we put them out in the balcony to dry. We wouldn't even put them through the dryer if the weather was okay. And boy, you pick them up and smell them and the freshness of them. It was, it's a big lesson I learned down there. Now, try this just for fun. I'll just give you a hint. That won't take up too much more. Take your washer when you get home. Say tomorrow. Fill it up. Don't put any clothes in. If you can stand the looks of the water in there, you may be all right. I'm telling you. Because these machines today do not take out all the residue of the clothes. They don't take all of the soap scum out of the clothes. Now, we did this when we came home. I had this idea. We did it four times in the machine before we got clear water through. And each time I'd dump about a half of a quarter, a half of a gallon of vinegar into it. And what you don't realize, you only see the inside of the cup. But on the outside, it's all this junk is stuck on there. And so we do that periodically now, is just fill it up and put some vinegar in and let it cleanse. Now, big deal, what's that? Well, if you're allergic to a little bit of soap, which I am, it's very important. Plus, I want to get into clean clothes, right? All these little things I've learned. Now, what you don't know, and what Jim doesn't know, I was writing my own booklet, thanks Jim, on what I had learned by living through it. Now I don't have to do it. He did it for me, and I really appreciate that. I knew if I held on long enough. Don't become bogged down, brethren, by advice too. If you get sick, you're going to get it from everywhere. You're going to get papers in, this is the miracle cure for cancer. It's not. It's not. There has to be a series of things you need to do with your body to do that. And so when God said up here, I'm giving you every green plant is given for food, that was in its purest form. Today we fight GE, genetically engineered products, and it's going to get worse. How long do you think we could feed the world on just natural growth with what we have today? How many people's sons are interested in taking over the farm? More money out in the corporate world, more different ways to do it. And the only other thing I want to leave with you is when you get home and you have something in plastic, try to get it into glass as soon as you can. Okay? We ingest plastic. Now, I have a few false teeth, probably more than the last time I saw you, because I had a bad thing go on and they had to take some out. And so I had my teeth polymerized. Oh, I know you don't know what that means. I know even less what it means. No, I'm kidding you. But what I did is I went to a denturist in New Zealand, and I'm getting the information on his name. And when you buy plastic teeth of any type, they polymerize them for 15 minutes. But research is showing they need to be polymerized for at least 24 hours. That will block out from you ingesting the plastic. It's very important. Like I said, it's head to toe, brother. I've had to learn all these things. And I find they're working, and with your continued prayers, everything's going to be fine. Because I trust in God, I have faith in God, and I have the prayers and support of the brethren, which is just wonderful to me. I know I'm never alone. I know that when I get down, I have you. And so I'm delighted to be here, delighted to see some older faces. Because if I said old, that wouldn't mean they're aging. And I've seen some people I've never seen before. So God bless you all. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your support. And may God be with you in your life of the things that you need to do.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.